I feel a bit like I'm standing at the podium at a Hollywood award show or on the field after a game when they're interviewing the winning athletes, because we often hear them say, first, I want to thank God. And I do. I do want to thank God for the many blessings in my life, and there are many. For faith, knowing there is a loving God who counts me as a precious child and is aware of desires and needs. For my family, the joys and heartaches that come from inextricably bound lives, some of whom are bound to us by choice, others not so much. A granddaughter who exclaims with delight, "Hi, Gigi!" And the grand dog who sits quietly in my lap in the recliner and looks up at me with those sweet brown eyes. For my friends, many of whom are in this room or have been, lives bound by chance and choice, lives bound by love and compassion. Ministries, I've been blessed by the many ways God has called and gifted me to serve. The last almost dozen years with Habitat, where I can walk around a neighborhood in my Habitat shirt and people lean out their cars and wave and smile and say thank you. And those people are not just the Habitat recipients, it's their neighbors. And humor, laughter. Humor is not just for fun. For me, it is a salvific necessity. A world full of majesties as big as the Grand Canyon or as simple as the birds in my backyard. The privileges I have, easy and affordable access to clean water, good food, quality housing, a home that is infused with memories, and most of the time, the freedom to do what I want, say what I want, eat what I want, sleep in, stay up late. Simple pleasures. We've spent the summer pondering what it means to be grateful. And I looked for a gospel reference to use to close out this series. And one would think amidst all the stories of healing and miracles, there would be lots of shouts of gratitude, like we heard in the passage this morning, but there aren't very many where that is shared. But the fact that we do not express our gratitude does not mean we're not actually grateful. I frequently find myself walking down the hall with my mind on the next meeting or the next task, and then my brain screams and I stop and turn around to go back to say thank you. During my career, there have been times that I have put praise on my calendar or my task list because I too often forget to share it. We need to be better at giving thanks, expressed to God, expressed to each other, and about the gifts that we have been given, how God has blessed us. That we often also overlook. A movie that's many years old now called Chariots of Fire, and it's about Eric Liddell, who is a gold medal Olympic runner, and he says, "I believe God made me for a purpose, but God also made me fast. When I run, I feel God's pleasure." Although there's not much gratitude in the Gospels, there's a lot in the epistles. I picked out 8 for this morning, and you can be grateful that I'm not going to share all of them. But they do follow a formula. There's thanks to God that's qualified with frequency, always, constantly, without ceasing. And then there are the specific expressions for the recipient's love, faith, service, and growth. For example, from 2 Thessalonians, "We must always give thanks to God for you, brothers and sisters, as is right, because your faith is growing abundantly, and the love of every one of you for one another is increasing." So when Mark asked me to preach today, I asked if I could add one more sermon on gratitude to the series because I wanted to take this opportunity to express my thanks to this congregation, to this family at Central Baptist Church. I want to thank God for you. I've been at Central for almost 40 years, and there's no way I can list or even remember all of the reasons I'm thankful. But I'm going to share some that are dear to my heart and my humor. I have continued to wake up in the night, and as late as in Sunday school, I was making some notes. It's opened floodgates of memories for me. But I will share a few things for which I am grateful. Lessons and carols. Candlelight communion. The first year I cried during that service was the year Otto and Betty Lower were leaving us, and I have cried at everyone since. Dramas, A Mall in the Night, Visitors, Once Upon a Time Shop, The Voices of Mary, Feminine Voices and Christian Heritage. Art, Kim and Ethan and Thomas, to name a few. Baptisms and baby dedications, even those where the name might have not been done exactly right. Maundy Thursday. Celebrations with palms becoming Ash Wednesday fires. We can thank Gerard for that. I think Gerard's actually responsible for a couple of worship-related fires. Podcasts, Advent devotions, communion, from passing the plates and the trays to intinction, from those little chiclets to gluten, sugar, egg, and flavor-free bread. I'm grateful that we offer that option because that is one representation of who we are as a congregation, that we think about those things. The music, Daniel Bailey, Kate Campbell, Aaron Austin, visiting choirs, handbells, the pipe organ, Cantique, de Jean Racine, the river in Judea. And this incredible choir who embraces me with companionship when most of what I do is lip sync. And that's not even a joke. The sound and video system, starting with Al Bertram and Donnie Colliver and Charlie Powers, and now there's a whole gaggle of them, and they rotate. Irish Town Mission, which we helped found with Jane Friedley and Vida Rediford. Thousands of meals, hundreds of worship services, deep and abiding friendships with the folks who live in that community and between the community here who has served them. The Flockers, the Pride Festival, our child care, the garden outside, the Peacemakers group, some of you remember, Renovare, parenting classes, Habitat, God's Pantry. And we embrace refugees from Kosovo to Africa, from homeless shelters to mental health institutions, from the world because some folks' uniqueness functions outside the cultural and societal box, and honestly for all of us because we are all refugees from something. We here have helped each of us find a place where our gifts can be used to work toward the reign of God. Our mission teams from Connecticut to Ecuador, there's some stories from Connecticut I actually will not share from the pulpit. From North Carolina to Florida. And I'm so excited about Jane and Gwen becoming deacons, following the footsteps of those three original women, where Central functioned outside the box by calling Pat Corman, Pat Wagner, and Leoma Llewellyn to be the first women deacons in this congregation. The concerns and celebrations, which is what we used to title our prayer list, thousands and thousands of those. One of the pictures was of the angels who gathered in the hospital while Juliana was being born. We did Christmas caroling to shut-ins on the bus. Foxy Blanton was our original driver there. And Raleigh, I think you picked up that. Home communion. When our family lost our home in the tornado, you supported us with lodging and food and shelter and financial support. When Kevin O'Canna lost his hair to chemotherapy, the youth group did not ridicule him. but embraced him. When we had a member who had AIDS, we accepted him. When one of ours attempted suicide, we loved her. After my husband died, Pat Wagner and several other widows brought me in for what I call the widow's lunch, because they wanted to share with me what my life might be like. And always, 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 when there is a need, like this morning with Mary, someone or many someones are praying for us. Our buildings have been wonderful, serviceable, well-maintained, and beautiful. We had a rec hut that we called it. It was the Aldridge Dale building. Some of you will remember Virgie Aldridge. Sat in the church office on Sunday mornings. The Wild Oats was the Sunday school class, which is no longer around. A couple of us are still here. But the youth were having lock-ins in the rec hut. And the Collivers and the Childresses and the Forstons decided that if the youth could have a lock-in at the rec hut, then so could we. Everybody didn't stay awake the whole night, and I have some pictures to prove that. But we did have a lock-in, went out to breakfast the next morning, and had fun. One time we had a sex retreat with the youth, and it was intended to, that doesn't sound exactly... That didn't come out right exactly like I wanted it to. We had a retreat with the youth where we talked about issues of sexuality and education with that. And it was, I was one of the chaperones for that trip. It was interesting. Passport Cross Point with the youth. One of the pictures up there was Gerard and Diane Montgomery. And if you remember that picture, Diane is clapping here. And Gerard is clapping here. Now, which one do you think was on rhythm? The first year Diane and I went as chaperones, we were at Campbellsville University. And we were in a room, and our girls were in a room. And it was up into the night. And one of the chaperones from the group next to us came and knocked on our door. And we answered it. And she said, "We'd really appreciate it. Our girls are trying to sleep. If you could get your girls to tone it down and be more quiet, we would appreciate it." We said, "Okay." And then when we shut the door, we began to laugh again because the loudness was not coming from our girls. It was actually coming from our room. At our old building, we had youth who made out in the sanctuary on Wednesday nights when it was dark in there. We had some who played in the baptismal water. That could have been here. Might have been there, maybe both. We had vacation Bible school at a day camp, a Girl Scout camp. I can't remember the name of it. I've been trying for weeks. What was the name? Camp Shawano. They did a program at the end. Dwight's not here. Jason Kelly, Dwight's son, sang with such gusto at that. It just was heartwarming. We had children's music programs of all sort over the years. Family campouts. We went out to Woodman of the World. Becky and I cooked for those. And Skeeter Johnson led square dancing. Y'all, some of y'all remember that. You're laughing. Well, you know, in square dancing, you do a lot of going around and everybody touches hands. You know how you transmit viruses? By touching. So one year, as I calculated it, about 60% of us came back with what I will call the epizooties. And Baz and I lived in this little house, our first house, little one-bedroom ranch, and we were so sick, both of us, before children. I really thought we were going to have to call in home health. But at one point, some of my favorite Baz stories, so I'm going to share it. He's in the bathroom, I'm in the bed, and I hear this voice, "Rachel, Rachel," and it's coming through the wall because it wasn't an attached, you know, master bath kind of thing, "Rachel," and I'm in the bed, I can barely move. So I roll out, literally, and crawled to the bathroom around the corner because I really couldn't walk. Got to the threshold, laid my head on that cold tile floor. What? And he said, Rachel, I know I'm getting ready to die, and I just wanted you to be in here with me. I mentioned refugees earlier, and one of my areas of deep gratitude for this congregation is we do accept folks who are outside the box, whatever the definition of box is. And your all's love of Baz is one of the things for which I am grateful, because he, outside the box, John, would you say a little bit? Speaking of that, Cynthia Campbell and I were founding members of kind of a secret group in the congregation. It's not ever been, no sign-up sheets, although we could create one, but we called it the Wives with Weird Husbands group. We invited Pat Wagner and Judy Hatch to join us at one point. But I suspect we could still take applications, don't you think? Yeah. Bill Campbell. I know Bill's here, so I'm really worried. Where are you, Bill? Bill volunteered to go on a youth trip and drive the girls. There is a picture, I think, of that trip of four girls in a van. And Bill has sons, and he was used to what boys do and talk about and how they act with the burping and the, and he thought he was going to get these four sweet girls, Juliana, Christina, Lacey, and Erin. Martha's been on trips with them. And what he learned in this, I don't know, 15 or 20-hour trip, I think it seemed like it wasn't that long, that girls can be as bathroom humor focused and loud and rowdy and cantankerous as boys. But I think he loved it. They were sweet. They are sweet, and I'm astonished that they're functioning adults with children of their own. Not that they're functioning so much, but that they're adults. They are functioning. Our congregation has been so courageous to be true to the gospel of loving God and loving our neighbors, with our women deacons and ordaining women to ministry, for being open and affirming before that was a movement, before it got talked about, for being willing to be racially and ethnically diverse, for leading a charge to lead the Southern Baptist Convention and the Kentucky Baptist Convention and the Elkhorn Baptist Association because we felt like being Baptist was different from what they were trying to do to us, for being these Baptists, Baptists with a little B, for you all coming to Delaney's and Alex's wedding, for the ministers and the staff who have led us, supported us, challenged us, walked with us, cried and laughed with us. I know of no other congregation that has had the ministers we have, and I say that including Thomas and Tricia and Susan and many of the others who have served with us, for our willingness to look at global perspectives in our pastoral prayers in the morning, for people who have traveled around the world to serve, for the refugees, for folks like Deb Alexander who represented who we are before she was even part of us, and our installation of the Unlearned Fear and Hate artwork, I think, is just one of the many symbols of the way we are open to the world. Our Halloween events, our Paradise and other ventures out in the woods and around campfires, where Ken Bailey would sing The Squirrel Went Berserk in that first self-righteous church in the creepy something little town of Pascagoula. Baz would sing House of the Rising Sun. We've taken laps around the gym together and around R.J. Corman. We've had church picnics and dessert auctions. Now, my first memories of those dessert auctions were folks who at that time were younger than I am now, Pat and Dan Corman, Don and Shirley Flynn, Pat and Leonard Wilson, some of the others, where the wives made these scrumptious desserts and their husbands bid on them. And their buddies bid against them to get that bid up so that we would make more money for missions. And I looked at that as a youngster, you know, really a youngster, like, you know, 22 or 23, and thought that was just the coolest thing, what they were doing. And Jan Fisher and I tried to carry that on a little bit when our Sunday school class had white elephants, and we would bid against each other, and we have, now we have continued that some with the bidding at the desserts. Congregating at tables on Wednesday nights. There was this discussion years ago about, were people being too, with their little group, and we tried to do some mixers, and Cynthia did a lot of these, where we would try to get people to come on Wednesday night, and we would do something to make them sit where they didn't usually sit. And oh my goodness, you would think that. But some of the food I remember on potlucks, we had someone made this green pistachio salad. I don't remember who that was. SpaghettiOs. Cheryl, was that you? Cheryl would bring SpaghettiOs because the kids, you know, kids, they're picky. Macaroni and cheese, derby pie. And something that has not changed at all is that you eat and then the kids run around. And I have loved in our big space over here watching the children run around and make noise, and I always worry that they're going to be like my brother was when he was a kid and run into a wall and have to have stitches. And then there is that great cloud of witnesses. Ken Golfin at Quinn Chapel a couple of weeks ago said this: I thank God I have real people to hang around with and just be myself. Boy, I am thankful for that too. Some of this cloud of witness are no longer physically present. Some of them have moved around the world. Some of them have moved out of it. But folks we love and who have loved us, not because of, not in spite of, but simply because. Bill and Thelma Griffin. Thelma kind of mentored me. She allowed me to teach her Sunday school class when she went to Florida. They were dear and sweet. And towards the end for them, Bill had dementia, Thelma had had a stroke, and they invited me over for lunch. And so Thelma and I sat at the table, and she gave Bill instructions on how to make the sandwiches, because she could no longer make the sandwiches. He could no longer remember how to make them. But the two of them together blessed me with lunch. Catherine Moore, Carolyn Snexer, Becky Colliver, Marty McGregor. Do you remember Clint Stone? Some of you remember Clint Stone. He lived in our church for a while. We'd had some robbery. Somebody actually came in, stole our hand truck in order to steal our safe. So Clint lived in the church. And Bill Turner. The sermon where he waved his paycheck because enough money hadn't come in. Dave remembers that. A couple of other things about Bill Turner. I don't know what part of the building it's called, but behind the sanctuary in our other building where we would go in, there was a little bathroom, and the ministers often went in there to get prepped and put on their mic and whatever, and Bill was wearing his mic in the bathroom. What he did not realize was that it was on. Everybody else in the sanctuary knew where Bill was. He also preached Ed McGregor's funeral with his fly open. Ed would have loved that. I think about B.J. Marshall, who even after she had a stroke and was in a nursing home, would make crafts with one hand that was still working and constantly kept us in her prayers. Student ministers, I don't know how many we've had. Jeremy Colver now is a minister and is nationally known for his writing. Stephen Lynn, Zach Bales, Karen Rector, who's a Navy chaplain. And Karen was, to be a Navy chaplain, you kind of have to be down to earth and easy. And she was from Western Kentucky. And I tell you, if things got too bad and somebody was whining too much, she would just say, suck it up. I can't do it like she did, but she did. Mayback, who was a woman in our congregation who was challenged and could not drive. But we took turns taking her to church. We would pick her up in the morning. And my girls were little. And they would ask, are we picking up Miss May back today? We were excited about that. Jessica Sherm also has gone off to do incredible ministry. Susanna and Lauren, who are new to us and who are leaving us too soon. gratitude for things and people about which we can be deeply grateful should not be difficult. Raleigh talked about his prayer, Things All Around Us, and the movie August Rush, the character says, there is music all around us. All we have to do is listen. There are reasons for gratitude all around us. All we have to do is listen and watch and feel and say thank you. The epistle references I talked about, my favorite one is from Philippians, and I preached a sermon on that passage in October of 1999. I pulled some of my examples today from that kind of ancient history now, but it says this, I thank my God every time I remember you, constantly praying with joy in every one of my prayers for all of you, because of your sharing in the gospel from the first day until now. I thank God for you, all of you, each of you. Even if I don't know you, we may speak or not in the restroom, I see your faces from the choir, we pass in the hall, I enjoy watching your children, I hear you on a podcast. We don't have to actually know one another to be thankful for each other. Because our greatest thanksgiving is being together as part of the body of Christ and the family of God. The Philippian writer continues the thanksgiving passage with these words. I am confident of this, that the one who began a good work among you will bring it to completion. It is right for me to think this way about all of you because you hold me in your heart. For all of you share in God's grace with me. Now the experts, some of them will tell you that you hold me in your heart could be translated, I hold you in my heart. But I don't need an expert to tell me. I hold you in my heart. I always thank God for you.